White Rocket Entertainment.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 438.
A miracle in Jordan Hare! A miracle in Jordan Hare!
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with TheWarEagleReader.com and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, number one, you can tell that I didn't have to teach classes today because my voice is a lot better than it's been in a while. With all the with all of our fall and winter gunk in the air and everything up here, I've had a really rough voice the last couple of months. But we're in final exams, and I had to do one exam this morning from 7:30 to about 9, and that was it. It's tough work if you can get it. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
Well, let me, before we get into our business, I'm going to crack open my orange bubbly. There we go. And we don't have a game this week, obviously. We're still very much enjoying the after effects of last Saturday's game. John, I have worn my best Auburn gear every dang day since Saturday, including Saturday, obviously, since Saturday. I've rotated a few around a little bit, you know, done some more than once, but I've worn my hoodie, my quarter zip, my other quarter zip, my big giant obnoxious Auburn sweatshirt. I mean, I've hit all the highlights this week. How about you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And somebody the other day said, boy, you're really having a good week after that. And I said, good week. It's going to be a good year.
Exactly. Yes. That's what I've been trying to get people to understand is it's not just a week. This is, I said, it makes every moment of every day for the next year better. It just does. It makes every moment. I was walking down the stairs from my office to the classroom this morning, and I started thinking about that game again, and I got a spring in my step, and I was chuckling all the way down the hall. You know? So, it figures into everything. So, so I would take this to mean then, because you raised the question on our show notes, has the rosy glow of the Bama win faded for you? And obviously it has not. I'm assuming that's the case of you as well.
It is not at all. I still, like you, I find myself thinking about the game. I was raking some leaves yesterday, and I was just thinking about it, and it made me smile, thinking about, you know, the way Auburn played and how
you're like,
how pissed off Nick Saban was and that kind of stuff.
You're like,
it was all good.
I'm pushing these leaves around like Sean Shiver pushed his way into the end zone and knocked that dude's helmet off. Speaking of which,
I'm jamming these leaves in this bag, like
take that. You did you see Jared actually did a watercolor of that moment? This is actually kind of funny. He did a beautiful watercolor of Shiver taking the dude's helmet off, and he's got it up on eBay. And last we checked, it was like $93. So good for him. He deserves, you know, to get whatever top dollar he can for it, because it's beautiful work, as everything is that he does. I said, yeah, man. I said, that's awesome. I said, I remember back in high school, you know, back in the '80s in high school, I did little pictures of Aubie standing next to a number one, and I sold like three of those to people around town for $25 each. And Jared's like, I'm just now finding out about this lucrative post Iron Bowl merchandising market. So yeah, expect more, stuff from Jared, I'm thinking, in the future. But yeah, so that's cool. I think he said that like Sean Shivers himself had inquired about it. So
nice.
What is first on our plate tonight? Because we have several interesting things to talk about, from coaching moves, including on our own staff. We had to know that eventually it would reach even to our own staff, to other games and so forth. So what's on your mind first?
I guess just since the – you know, we talked about the Alabama game last week. We talked about it a lot. There were a couple of things that I was thinking about afterward that I just I'm not sure that we said, and I just mm-hmm. wanted to be sure that we conveyed this. And one of them was just watching the game again, like the way that Auburn kept getting up and kept coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was, after Alabama scored and they scored again, like they kept getting up and kept coming back and kept fighting every play. And
that was the hardest part for me to believe, because I was convinced that it was either going to have to be a low scoring brawl or we were going to lose. I didn't see any mm-hmm. way that we could win. It's like Terry Bowden's famous quote after 93 Florida, where he looks at the camera and he says, "I did not think we could get in a scoring contest with Florida and win." Well, I didn't think we could get in a scoring contest with Alabama and win, but we, as you and I talked about, we found ways.
Yes. And that's the biggest thing. I think this team, throughout the year, I think had great leadership within the team.
Yes,
they absolutely. Had really good. I think people watch that game and think, "Oh, it just happens. That's how sports teams are, or whatever." But that's right. not normal.
No, that's leadership by your. That's when you're. That you need that happy coincidence that you're physically and mentally most talented players are also seniors and are also great role models for the rest of the team. And that doesn't happen every year by any stretch.
Yes. And I also think we'll talk in a minute about kind of the value of tough scheduling or not tough scheduling. But you're 100% right. The seniors and some of the other players who weren't seniors, there was a famous quote in the I think it was in Justin Ferguson's story, but it may have been in Justin Lee's story, but they, after the game, where coming off the field at halftime, Bo Nix and KJ Britt looked at each other and said, "I will carry you off the field after the game. If that's what we need to do, I will give everything I have. And if you give everything you have, I will carry you off the field."
Like your broken body or your worn out body, in other words.
That's it. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. That really is. Did I see that Britt got all SEC first team?
He did. Wow. Auburn had three players first team all SEC, Marlon Davidson and Derek Brown and Britt. And Derek Brown was defensive player of the year in the SEC, which he deserved. It was the first one for Auburn since Nick Fairley.
Mm-hmm.
So that was exciting.
Yes. Well deserved.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. So let's move on to talk about the bowl game, because I know you're excited about this.
Well, there's been such, I don't say controversy, but on Auburn Twitter this last couple of days, it was just such a, excuse me, I'm going to be doing this a lot during the show and I don't always hit the button. It was just such a convoluted thing where people were trying to figure out basically you had some folks like me trying to figure out how we don't play Wisconsin. That was my only goal, right? I don't care who we play or where. Well, hopefully not the Weed Eater Bowl, but I just didn't want to play Wisconsin. It's never fun. They're boring. They're like, to me, they're playing them in a bowl, they're like the North Carolina State of the Big Ten. They're just this vacuum, this void of football interest. They occasionally do something interesting, like the other night when they were leading 21-7 over Ohio State at the half, and I was like, oh. But usually I don't want to, and it's again, they're, You would if you went back over the years, you would be forgiven for thinking that Auburn was in the same conference with Wisconsin and Clemson, but not Missouri, or Florida.
Florida.
Yeah, because we've played Wisconsin and Clemson a heck of a lot more than we've played Florida or Missouri. I was obviously wanting Michigan. We talked about this last week. Better to play the big team in decline than the little team on the rise, because the big team in decline, you're more likely to beat, and it looks good. You can put, 10 years from now, people won't remember necessarily that Michigan was in decline. They'll just know Auburn beat Michigan. Wow, that's awesome, Whereas if we play Minnesota, and they've been so good, they were undefeated most of the year, they could come out and kick our butts, and 10 years from now, people will be like, oh, that Auburn team lost to Minnesota. They couldn't have been very good. So just the perception now and the perception down the road, to me, always favors. It's just like with Central Florida, losing to Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl sounds a lot better than losing to Central Florida in the Peach Bowl. The funny thing about that was The Peach Bowl against Central Florida was actually a more prestigious destination that year than the Sugar Bowl against Oklahoma was the year before. But nobody's going to remember that in a few years. They're going to say, oh, the 16 team went to the Sugar Bowl and played Oklahoma. The 17 team went to the Peach Bowl and played Central Florida. I mean, which one of those sounds like a better year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to play the team that caps off the year in a good way. But again, I mean, Minnesota has enough cachet this year that at least it will be an interesting game. At least it should be interesting because they have some things that have caught people's attention, and they were undefeated and threatening to get into the playoff conversation, you know, for 5 minutes in October before things kind of went bad for them. So, what do you think about this matchup? Is this what you would have wanted, or you know? Did Alabama steal it from us, the Michigan citrus thing? You know.
No, I mean, I'm not stressing about the citrus thing against Michigan. I was looking at scenarios where Auburn could get into the Orange Bowl or the Cotton Bowl.
Okay.
And that was possible, you know, for it to happen. And it's really kind of stupid. The thing that messed us up was Oregon winning.
Which is crazy because you'd think that'd help us.
Yes, but it didn't because basically Oregon was behind us, and then they jumped ahead of us in the playoff rankings after that. What we needed was, you know, kind of Utah to win and LSU to win, and then like Oklahoma and Ohio State to like blow their teams out, none of which really happened other than LSU winning.
Yeah.
So because in that scenario, it's possible that Wisconsin and Baylor drop down to like 10 and Auburn passes them
mm-hmm.
in the final rankings. And then Auburn is looking at, you know, either the Cotton Bowl or the Orange Bowl slot. And I kind of wanted that for, you know, not so much because like I'm excited to go play Memphis in the Cotton Bowl or whatever.
Right.
But I think it's a more prestigious thing and I wanted it for the players because I think they've earned it. I mean, I honestly believe this team is one of the seven or eight best teams in the country.
Yes.
And I think people are going to say I'm insane because they have three losses, but that's how I feel about it.
No, you're absolutely right. I've made that argument too. The three teams we lost to are currently 34-4, John.
Yeah.
And those four are against each other.
Auburn played nine teams that are in bowls in the regular season. That's the most of...
John, we played five of the top 10 teams right now.
Yeah.
And went 2-3 against them. And we're not ahead of any of them in the AP. That's the thing I've been railing about all week. We played five of the current top 10, including number one. We beat two of them. And yet in the AP rankings this week, we are not ahead of any of them, including Alabama. We were tied with them. But here was the thing. We're tied for ninth in the AP. So I thought, okay, well, if the playoff thing puts us up a little higher, that would be awesome. They have us, what, 12?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We were 11 last week, and we dropped a spot back because Oregon jumped ahead of us.
Yeah, and Alabama dropped a spot back, too. They're 13th, which is crazy. So, yeah, we're 9th in the AP and 12th in the playoff rankings, which is just insane. Again, we played five of the AP top 10 teams and beat two of them, and they have us ranked 12th.
And again, I'm not hung up about the Citrus Bowl thing because I understand it from their perspective. It's a money making deal, and they're going to do what they're going to do. That
right.
was not surprising.
It was never they were never going to take us over Alabama and Michigan. That was, you know, that was not
100% was going to happen. So it's fine. You know, let's go play Minnesota and win the game, and you know, build towards next year. I'm disappointed because I wanted more for the players. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
The other part is Minnesota's not bad. This is the other part of the thing. Minnesota is way better than that terrible Purdue team that we thrashed in the bowl game last year.
Exactly. That's what worries me is that they are actually good.
Yeah. No, they beat a Penn State team that has this, you know, going to the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
And, you know, has a lot of blue chip talent on it, and there's a lot of guys that get drafted, and they beat them pretty solidly. I mean, they're a good team, and they're going to be very excited to play an SEC blue blood team, and they're going to come out and play their best game, and so we got to be ready for it.
Well, look, I've been seeing Auburn people on Twitter the last few days saying, I mean, I've seen multiple people saying, oh, we're going to just whoop Minnesota's butt. It's not even going to be pretty. We're going to kill them. And I'm like, you guys need to That's crazy talk. That is not going to happen. It's going to be a hard-fought game, and to me, that game is going to come down to whether our best players are willing and able to give their best, or if they, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that they would dog it at all. I'm just saying there's a lot of difference between getting up for the Iron Bowl and getting up for Minnesota in the Outback Bowl. You know what I mean? And I don't blame them if they're like a little lethargic, but they got to be on their A game or we will lose that game.
100%. There's always a question in bowl games about A, who will play.
Yeah.
And B, who will be motivated.
Exactly.
How inspired will the teams be? And I can tell you right now, Minnesota will be motivated because they look at this as their big chance to nationally, you know, make a statement.
That's what we get in every game like this.
That's right. And so, but at the same time, like, you know, you're going to see this on other teams, 100%. You're going to see this on Alabama. A bunch of guys aren't going to play because they're going to sit out for the NFL draft. And Derek Brown has already said he's going to play, but things can change between now and then. So that kind of thing, you know, may happen. But I think the other thing is this Auburn team had a goal to win 10 games, and that goal is still on the table. And I think they could do it if they go out and beat Minnesota. So I think they're going to go out there and make it happen. But I do not think that Minnesota is some kind of we could just show up and roll out of bed and beat them.
No. And what I'm looking forward to seeing in that game is because you know our defense will play very well. One way or another, they'll play well. I'm looking forward to seeing what we do on offense that might be different given some weeks off to practice and recover and all that. By the way, before we leave, not that we're about to, but in a minute we will, before we leave talking about Minnesota, I wanted to share this little Minnesota this one little Golden Gophers tidbit I had here.
The Kiddush!
Stop!
Do you know what I just saw?
No, sir.
A gopher!
Gopher? Where?
Do you know what gophers can do to a golf course?
Why, sir, I think they're tunneling in from that construction site over yonder.
Chervik Construction Company?
I'll slap an injunction on them so fast it'll make their head spin, and you...
Ooh, better get rid of those gophers, or I'll be looking for a new greenskeeper. Is that clear?
Oh, aye, sir. Very clear, sir.
Yeah.
I'll put my best man on it.
Around my head.
Calm your eyes, man. I told you to cut the long grass on the 13th and I'll move the practice green.
I was unavoidably detained.
You can forget about the 13th and the practice green. I've got a more important job. I want you to kill every gopher on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Gophers! You're Greek, kid, not golfers. The little brown furry rodents.
We can do that.
Aye.
We don't even have to have a reason.
Do it, man.
All right, let's do the same thing, but with gophers.
Let's do the same thing, but with gophers, John. Let's kill every gopher on the field, man. We don't even have to have a reason, like, you know, 10 wins or winning the Outback Bowl. We'll just kill all the gophers on the field. I like it.
That's what we got to do.
Yeah. You look for those little mounds, man. That's how you know. For little mounds. I did, by the way, since we're talking about Caddyshack, I read recently, I don't know what I did with it. I read that there's a book about the making of Caddyshack. It's really a biography of Kenny, what's his name? Oh crap, Beard and Kenny from the National Lampoon. It's so good. It's probably out in paperback by now. I got the little hardcover of it a few months ago, but it's the story of the making of Caddyshack, and they interviewed Chevy Chase and all those people. But it's also kind of the story of Beard and Kenny and how they came up through, you know, Harvard Lampoon and did Board of the Rings, which is my all-time favorite comedy book. And then, you know, they went on to do the National Lampoon magazine, and then they ended up doing Caddyshack and Animal House. You know, it's a very, very entertaining, fun read if you like the old Lampoon movies. So have you ever read that one?
I have not.
You would enjoy it. It's very short and very fun.
All right. I'll keep my eye out for it.
Keep out. Yeah. Any other thoughts about Minnesota besides killing
the guys? We'll talk about them a lot more as we get closer. Here's what I know about Minnesota without I watched them a couple times this year.
Yeah.
They have a gigantic offensive line. I mean, like, really big, the biggest in the country. They run the ball a lot, but they also have two, like, receivers that are going to play in the NFL. Mm. One of them's named Bateman. He's really good. Defensively, they're solid. They have a couple of really good defensive backs. One of them is the son of Antoine Winfield, that played at Ohio State, played the NFL for a long time. Mm. So they have good players. And P.J. Fleck is he's a big motivational guy, not a scheme guy and all that stuff, but he's going to have them prepared and motivated to play this game. And the biggest thing is, I think they want to come out and just run the ball, and I think that's going to be a problem for them.
Yeah. Well, if all they're going to do is that, then they're going to have a hard time for sure against our line, our linebackers. But I don't know they'll have a lot of success passing either. I can see us putting the kibosh on their offense. I'm not sure. Well, how good is their defense? They must be pretty decent to have done as well as they have this year. I just haven't paid much attention to them. I'm going to go back and watch some film.
It's a good question. I will know more when we talk about them again.
You got it. All right. Well, there's other stuff going on. Before we talk about other head coaches on the move, and there were several, Auburn is looking for a new offensive coordinator, quote unquote, because Kenny Dillingham was a one and done. And we suspected this would happen, and sure enough, he's gone to Florida State with their new coach, Mike Norvell from Memphis. And is he already gone? I know that Norvell was going to stay around and coach Memphis through their bowl game before he went to Tallahassee, but I don't know.
He's asked to coach Memphis through the bowl game. I don't think Memphis is going to let him, and Dillingham will not coach Auburn in its bowl game.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Interesting. So we're going to bring somebody new in and have him up to speed in time for the bowl. That would be very interesting. Is it going to be the person that everybody's talking about, John? Is it going to be me? It should be me. I'm throwing my hat in the ring for Auburn offensive coordinator. I want to use my patented amoeba offense.
Why should it be you as offensive coordinator?
Because I have an innovative scheme that keeps the same personnel on the field long stretches of time. It goes between a sort of an option run attack with a run pass option versus a four wide with kind of a run and shoot base to it, and it kind of flexes back and forth between that using personnel that can go from the equivalent of a halfback in the wishbone flex out to being like the X receiver in the slot receiver in a four wide run and shoot type scheme. So it worked great on my old computer years ago, and I want to try it in real life.
Well, I'm sorry, you can't bring your own offense. You're overqualified.
Oh, that's right. I'm overqualified because we call it offensive coordinator, but we've already got a passing game coordinator. We've already got a play caller who designed the offense. I guess this is what I've been trying to get across to people is what Dillingham, I assume, was, and what we really need is a quarterback coach, right? And an offensive consultant. I mean, that's how I would describe that job, is quarterback position coach and offensive consultant. Does that sound about right?
Yes, 100%. And it needs to be somebody that can bring some new ideas.
Yeah.
So, you know, Gus isn't going to change everything wholesale, but somebody that can spice things up a little bit with some different ideas, especially in the passing game probably, and somebody that Gus will listen to about some stuff when he's being pig-headed.
So what do you think? Is it going to be Morris?
Well, I'm going to give you the options that I have heard.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yes.
I'll give you the options from maybe least known to most. I don't know. I'm just going to give you the options, and we'll end with Chad Morris.
All right.
So option the first one is Brennan Marion.
He is the
offensive coordinator at William & Mary.
Well, that's a powerhouse, so you got to go after him.
Okay. He was a wide receiver at Tulsa for Gus the last 2 years, and I believe is the Tulsa receiver leader from Gus's offense there. Offense a couple other places. Had a good year at William & Mary. Seen as an up-and-coming guy.
Very interesting.
All right.
I think that's who you get if you don't get your A-list person.
I'm still giving you options, okay? I saw somebody suggest this name today, and I don't think it would happen, but it's out there. Del McGee.
I remember him.
Currently Georgia's running back coach.
Who is he now? He's a good recruiter.
Yes, he's a great recruiter. So bringing a great recruiter to the offense, but if you're not going to let him call the plays and stuff.
But can he coach quarterbacks at the professional level? I mean, isn't that – that's why they brought
Dillingham.
Dillingham in was that I assumed that Pat Nix wanted Bo to have a good, you know, guy that could work with quarterbacks.
I don't think Pat Nix gets veto power.
Well, I don't either, but I'm just saying when they were – he most certainly had veto power when they were deciding if he was going to come to Auburn or not.
Sure, before he signed the paper.
Right. So I'm just saying you kind of want to keep your star quarterback happy and not
– And you're recruiting your future quarterbacks, and they want to see somebody too. So
Do we really want all of Bo Nix's quarterback development to be in the hands of Gus?
No, I want somebody else. So,
right, okay.
So other options, Cody Burns. You could just give him the full role and then hire a quarterback only coach.
Yeah. I love Cody, and I'm sure he's up for that. He's up to that job. He's had several years now to kind of learn his craft and everything. But I'm just not sure he's going to be that different from Gus. And I mean, if you're still hiring another quarterback coach, then you've just taken Dillingham's job and split it in half, haven't you? And how is that different from what Cody's doing now?
Well, he would have more responsibility than he has now.
It sounds to me like exactly the same situation you have with Dillingham, just tweaking it ever so slightly. So,
all right. Next option, Bobby Bentley.
Yeah.
He was on Auburn staff a few years ago and has since been at South Carolina. His son was the quarterback at South Carolina, but has left South Carolina and today actually formally transferred to Utah.
Oh, wow.
Right, he's going to be the quarterback out there. So Bobby Bentley doesn't have to stay at South Carolina anymore. So it's an option, and he liked living in Auburn. He liked the Auburn staff, so that's a guy.
That's not a culture shock, by the way. South Carolina to Utah, that's a very easy transition.
another smaller school but a hot name I think to keep an eye on is Brent Dearman, who is the offensive coordinator at Kansas. Again, a guy was a Gus GA, I think, and then went small school and was the offensive coordinator at a small school and tore it up. And then he got hired as an analyst at Kansas when Les Miles got the job. The offensive coordinator was doing a bad job. So halfway through the season, Les Miles fired him. Dearman takes over. And that's when that moment is when the Kansas offense took off and they averaged like 40 points a game for the rest of the season.
And Les Miles said, "This is dizzying. I don't like it." And he fired him and put the other guy back in charge.
No. But so anyhow, he is supposedly like the cutting edge RPO guy.
Okay.
Right. Like he's the guy for that kind of stuff.
I got to say, we're talking about the transfer to Utah. I really need a player to transfer from Alabama to Utah so that I can say that they went to the Mormons from the morons. But, you know.
Okay, that was pretty good. And so the last option is Chad. And the favorite, with money on it, if you bet money on it, would be Chad Morris.
Yeah.
And if you're betting money on Auburn's, who they're going to name as office coordinator, please seek help immediately.
Smoke weed every day.
So Chad Morris is one of Gus Malzahn's genuine friends in the coaching profession.
Yep.
And, you know, was a Texas high school coach when Gus was an Arkansas high school coach and came to see Gus's staff and learn from them and take a lot of that stuff back. He is more of a passing guy and Gus is more of a running guy. So I think it actually would be a good thing that he could bring some passing concepts here.
Nice.
He was the offensive coordinator at Clemson.
The same year that Kevin Steele was their defensive coordinator. So they've worked together.
How about that? And he recruited Deshaun Watson to Clemson, and had some success there. He was a good offensive coordinator, and that's how he got the SMU job. He was the head coach at SMU for a couple of years, and then got the Arkansas job. And it didn't work out, but it doesn't mean that he can't coach. Or that Gus wouldn't listen to him. So
that was a situation at Arkansas, I think, more than anything.
So I think something will happen. Again, we're at peak recruiting time. Okay. The early signing period is not far away at all. I think something will get resolved this week.
Yeah. Yep. Who do you think they're going to get if you had to pick?
I mean, you have to say Chad Morris.
Makes sense.
Now, this is the thing. If you hire him in an on-field role, it lessens his payment from Arkansas. If you hire him as an analyst, Arkansas pays the full freight. We could pay him like $100,000 or something. But
all right, so you hire him as an analyst to actually run the offense.
He can't coach players on the field.
You bring me in for a paltry couple $100,000 a year just to kind of like wear the hat and carry the whistle around. And I could have like a little earphone in my ear and he could just tell me what to say. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
That'd work.
It's an option.
It makes me think about the way the coach, you know how coaches will like get fired and then become the hot property and move up. I've been saying Chris Peterson at Washington, he just abruptly resigned. And, you know, if he'd had two or three more years of mediocre years in Washington, I'm not sure that, you know, he would have survived there, or if it had kept getting bad and worse, we don't know. Or if he would have been in much demand. But what he did was make himself into Urban Meyer, you know?
I think it's apples and oranges.
Well, but I'm just saying, give it a year, and every program in the country that needs a coach is going to be making the pilgrimage to see him, hat in hand, checkbook in hand. I thought it was a very smart thing that he did. But it made me think about, have you watched Silicon Valley?
No.
Oh, you've missed out. It ended Sunday, but there's this one character on there that's like just a complete and utter moron. He just knows nothing. He's like, he's got the intellect of a 5-year-old, and he just keeps failing upward. And spoiler for the final episode, in an episode last season, he somehow got mistaken for somebody else or something and became a professor at Stanford. So he's like wandered into the classroom with his big gulp sipping in his hand, you know, and his baseball hat. And, you know, he like sits down the front row and they're like, no, you're the teacher. He's like, huh? So he became the professor. So on the final episode of Silicon Valley, you find out that he went on to become the president of Stanford University. And in the interview, they ask him, he's like, whatever his first name is, Spaghetti. I'm the president of Stanford. Stanford. He couldn't even, pronounce it right. But it just made me think of some of these coaches we were talking about that they get fired and then they end up like getting hired again because the demand is so great and people are always looking. I mean, think about Lane Kiffin, which we're about to talk about, you know, or think about, you know, Hugh Freeze is going to pop up sooner or later. And honestly, there's going to come a day, I hate to say it, when Briles probably does. I don't know, but geez. So it is kind of – it's like some of them just seem to fail upward just because there's such a demand for a name, even if it's not the greatest, you know, the results, you know. So let's yes. let's look at some of those coaches. What do you think? Lane Kiffin to Ole Miss. Is this a slow-motion dumpster fire, car crash?
Well, it's going to be fun.
Well,
I mean
– depending on who you are.
Well, again, we're Auburn, so I'm telling you from my perspective, it's going to be fun.
Right.
They're going to do crazy stuff. They're going to score points. They're going to drive Nick Saban absolutely bonkers.
Oh, man.
If they have success, it'll make Tennessee fans mad.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's like a, you know, it's kind of a win-win-win that way. I think his brother was a defensive coordinator back when Ole Miss was good, actually, under Freeze. So, I think they're going to bring him in. And I think he's going to bring in – Kendall Briles is the OC probably. I'm not worried about them winning the West or anything, but they're going to be excited. They're going to be fun. It could go off the rails badly.
They will put rear ends in the seats, won't they?
100%. Again.
And that's what they wanted. That's what they said they wanted.
They had like 5,000 people come to his announcement today, and they sold beer.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you know the ad campaign, the slogan for Ole Miss 2020.
Smoke weed every day.
They should put that on the poster. Ole Miss 2020. So,
what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, here's what I want to see happen. I want them to beat Alabama every year somehow, like Freeze did, and all the Alabama fans to be mad that they have Nick Saban and not Lane Kiffin, because that would be peak Alabama right there to whine and complain about their whining and complaining brilliant, you know, Mount Rushmore coach because they don't have the new hotness. You know, and they'll be like, well, we knew he was great when he was there before. Why didn't we just go ahead and fire Saban and hire him then?
I mean, Saban got annoyed at him and they didn't want him around anymore. But they also, one of the reasons he was at his last job was they didn't want him to be Orgeron's offensive coordinator. Like Alabama tried to manipulate things to make sure that didn't happen.
At LSU?
Yes.
Okay.
They didn't want him to leave Alabama and immediately go work for Orgeron. They were worried about that.
Oh, okay. So they engineered him going to Florida Atlantic?
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, remember, he was at Tennessee for, what, 1 year?
Yeah.
Right? Am I thinking that right?
That's right.
And that they came – Alabama had to – Terrence Cody had to block 2 field goals for Alabama to beat them.
Oh, yeah. I just remember him getting in all that trouble by saying stuff about Georgia or Florida or something.
Oh yeah, and the best part is he's going to be saying it about Alabama now. So fire away.
Oh well, but he keeps saying he's not the same guy anymore.
He's not. I'm sure he'll be a little more mature, but it's going to happen. He's going to say something stupid. There's going to be picture surface on the internet of him drunk, staggering around downtown Oxford or whatever.
And they'll say, well, I tell you what, though, if he wins, they don't care. They'll just say he's eccentric. It's like that old line on Bull Durham, right? If you do this stuff and nobody's ever heard of you, you're a weirdo or you're crazy. If you do it and you win, you're eccentric.
That's right.
So, yeah, that Terry Bowden had 2 years where him singing at, you know, karaoke at Darnell's was great. And then after like the third year, it's like, why are you down there singing? Or it's Lake Martin jumping off the rock when you should be coaching. So yeah, the patience gets real short with that kind of stuff unless you win. But if you win, it's all right. So I see that Arkansas and Missouri hired coaches.
Yes.
I knew nothing about this. I missed out. So that must have been like in the last 24 hours. So
yes. Arkansas hired Georgia offensive line coach Sam Pittman.
Interesting.
So he was Bielema's offensive line coach when things were actually going well at Arkansas.
Oh, so they're bringing they're bringing back the
hey, Beavis. What? Let's go fishing.
They're bringing that back.
Well, but he was really the core of what made things work. He, you know, he's considered the best offensive line coach in the SEC, and so number one. Georgia losing him is a net positive for us, okay? Because he's a great recruiter and a great offensive line coach, and he's no longer at
Georgia. Good, good.
So that's the big win, regardless of what he does at Arkansas. I think, yeah, you're right. This is a signal they're trying to go back to the Bielema way. But he's supposed to be a good recruiter. Clearly, they're going to try and, you know, and go back to a more physical brand of football with an offensive line coach as a head coach. But we'll see.
Whenever you got an offensive lineman or coach as a head coach, it just always makes me think about Tennessee, the great pumpkin at Tennessee.
Fulmer,
yeah. I always think about Philip Fulmer, the offensive lineman. Although Pat Dye was an offensive lineman too, wasn't he? Believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You'd never guess that, would you? You would never guess Pat Dye was an offensive lineman. All-American, wasn't he? All-SEC, at least. I think he was All-American. Yeah.
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
And then Missouri hired a guy named Eli Drinkwitz.
Is this the Appalachian State guy?
Yes.
Okay.
He again, Gus Malzahn protege.
Okay.
Former, you know, GA with Gus and learned stuff from Gus. He's been the offensive coordinator at NC State for years. And then when Appalachian State head coach Scott Satterfield went up to Louisville last year, they hired Drinkwitz away from NC State. And NC State's offense immediately cratered. he went to Appalachian State. They won 10 games again. And he was only a head coach for 1 year, and Missouri hired him.
Yep.
So I think part of what this says is Missouri wanted a young offensive coach.
Yeah.
Again, after having a defensive coach, they're kind of doing that go the other way thing.
Yep.
But I think, you know, this is part of it. I think he was a guy they could get. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But a guy who's, you know, he was an OC and considered an up-and-comer that way. He's been a head coach for 1 year in a well-established program where, you know, you or I could show up next year and they'd win 8 games probably at Appalachian State.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of a question. But again, kind of funny. This is a guy, when we hired not Dillingham, but our previous offensive coordinator, who's Chip. Troy now.
Chip.
Yeah, when we hired Chip Lindsey, when we were hiring Chip Lindsey 3 years ago, we talked about Drinkwitz as one of the candidates, and some Auburn fans said, oh, we don't want that guy.
Hmm.
And now he's the head coach in the SEC.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you pose a question about the SEC fan bases and the coaches. You know, who did they think they were going to get, and who did they get? So expand on that for a second.
I just think that, and I didn't get to do all the research on this I wanted to do, but I think Missouri and Arkansas and Ole Miss all thought they were getting big name, bigger name coaches, and that big name coaches were going to come to them because they were SEC schools and they had openings. And I think their fans and their administrators were kind of delusional about that. And I think at all of these schools, when they, you know, when they did the research and they came back and they said, here's who we can get, the people in charge said, what are you talking about? You know, people thought they were going to lure away big coaches from existing, you know, Power Five jobs and, you know, good jobs. And why would those people come? And especially for the SEC West teams, like, you're really asking for it. Be going to that division. But in Missouri has had, you know, their own issues. They fired a coach, you know, and they've had a bowl ban this year, that kind of stuff. So I think one thing I just wanted to say here with this is, and I know that Auburn fans, and they're, when I say this, they're thinking like, oh, but we're different. We're special. We're better.
I was just going to say, go ahead.
And that's fine. And I believe that too. But I'm just telling you that Arkansas and Missouri and Ole Miss people thought that too. And they thought they were going to get some big name coaches. And they couldn't, let's be clear, they couldn't get Mike Norvell from Memphis. Okay. They called some other existing coaches at other places and they couldn't get any of those people. None of those people were coming. So, you know, you're looking at non Power Five coaches or coordinators. For those jobs. And, you know, I think last year was the kind of year they were a bunch of really good candidates at that level, like Scott Satterfield and like the guy who was at Troy, who's at West Virginia now, and those kind of people. But I think a lot of those guys moved up and there wasn't the same level of those kind of guys available at the, you know, right below at the G5 level. And I think a lot of these fans thought we're going to be able to lure, you know, an ACC coach or a Big 12 coach or a Big 10 coach or whatever to come here because we're an SEC school, and they couldn't. It didn't happen.
Well, and I think it's very important to understand. I mean, I know exactly what you're saying. I was going to say the same thing, is that we love Auburn more than life itself, but I don't know that Auburn, between our position in the hierarchy of the conference, the challenge of being in the West with all those other teams, and our history of, you know, and it's overblown. You and I have talked before many times about how our reputation, it's not that we're quick on the trigger. It's not we're quick on the trigger. It's that we got an itchy trigger finger. You know, you and I have made that distinction many times. Auburn really doesn't have a history of firing coaches. Alabama's fired 3 times as many coaches over the last, you know, 40 years as we have. Between Bear Bryant and Saban, they went through coaches every 2 years. We kept the same one for a decade apiece. It's just that we talk a lot about firing them. We point the gun at them a lot. We don't always pull the trigger, but man, we like to wave the gun at them a lot. And that creates a perception in the public's mind and in the coach's mind and the media's mind that we do. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, mm-hmm. think how many times we've talked about firing Gus. How many times did we come close to firing Tuberville? You know, we were firing Chizik before he got off the dang plane the first day. That's just what we do. Terry Bowden, he won 20 games in a row, and they're like, how can we get him out of here? You know, I mean, it's who we are and what we do. But here's the thing. I think that when you take all those factors together, I think we could have a better chance to get a big-name coach if we ever wanted to try than Arkansas, Ole Miss, or Missouri. Sure. But are we Florida or Alabama that we can just say, you know, snap our fingers and the A-list, number one list comes rolling up? No. I want you to tell me, John, who is the biggest – who of the coaches Auburn has hired going back to the 70s, let's say. Go all the way back to the 70s, when you and I first were even around paying any attention at all. Who was the biggest name coach at the time we hired him?
Tuberville?
I think so. And he was the Ole Miss coach. They weren't exactly lined up around the block to hire him. It was more like Bobby Lauder got a hankering for some Tuberville and decided to go get him. But, I mean, I think Tuberville was probably it. And that's, I mean, you know, we got Pat Dye from Wyoming. We got Terry Bowden from Samford. We got Gene Chizik from Iowa State. We got Gus roundabout, but from Arkansas State. This is on the same level as hiring these guys that Arkansas, Missouri, and Ole Miss hired. How is it different? Mm-hmm. They're not, sure. You know, we're not going out and getting Bob Stoops or something. I'm sorry. We're not hiring, you know, the coach away from Notre Dame or Florida State.
You mentioned the Bob Stoops thing. It's the same, like you were talking about Chris Peterson earlier. Chris Peterson is going to be Bob Stoops 2.0.
Yes.
Neither one of them is ever going to be a Power 5 coach again, ever. But they are the names that every message board fan will throw out the minute there's another job.
Yes, that's what I was saying, is that they will be he'll be the name. He'll be the one that they line up to genuflect to and bring their checkbooks. Absolutely.
Florida State fans told themselves they were getting Bob Stoops, and they listened to Bob Stoops rumors for weeks, and then they got Mike Norvell.
I guess the biggest move like that was Texas A&M getting Jimbo Fisher, at least in terms of perception. You and I and a lot of us knew, you know, I think Jimbo Fisher is a slightly less ruinous Bobby Petrino in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm not saying he brings the nasty baggage like Petrino does, and in Petrino's case, probably literally. But I mean, he's a guy that comes in, is flashy for a couple of years, brings you a couple of big recruits for a couple of years, wins big for a couple of years, and then everything falls apart because of his overall general management style. That's Petrino, and I think that's Jimbo Fisher. And I'm afraid that A&M has the window has already closed on the good stuff Jimbo Fisher gives you, and A&M is now descending into the bad stuff that Jimbo Fisher brings you. So he's the biggest name I can think of lately that's gone to an SEC West program other than, you know, Saban to Alabama or whatever. So
that was 2007.
Yeah.
After 2006. Yes.
Yeah. So right. I think that they are all deluded. I just don't know, you know, how are you going to get a coach at a big program to come to another, even if it's a big program, lateral move, unless they're not doing well. I mean, so, you know,
it has to be a thing where they're a good coach at a place with a limited ceiling and you're giving them a higher ceiling.
Yeah. Or a crap ton of money like Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, like you saying that, like Missouri's going to pay Eli Drinkwitz like $3 or $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the going rate.
That's where we are now.
Yes. I had 1 year of experience. So
that's where we are.
Yep.
It's the price of doing business in the SEC.
That's right.
All right. We got a couple of assistant coaches on the move. Mike Bobo. I'd heard rumors that Mike Bobo would be going back to Georgia, but he's going to South Carolina?
Yes. I think, he is friends and played with both Kirby and Muschamp, and he's going to South Carolina, apparently. Georgia, you know, there's rumors that they're going to change offensive coordinators or whatever, but they haven't done anything, and Bobo's officially at South Carolina. I think they're formalizing the deal. So.
I got to say, For a team in the mid 90s or whenever that had that many future big time football coaches in their roster, they sure weren't very good.
Well, they made a lot of dumb plays too.
Who was their head coach? Was that Donnan?
Yes, I think so.
Jeez, God, no wonder. Okay. So who's Georgia going to get then?
I don't know. I mean, they may not change. They may keep Cooley, you know, but I think everybody wants to blame him. But I think the real problem is, and this is another thing that circles back to Auburn, we always want to blame Gus for the recruiting failures, especially to have a position to be so weak that it was a limiting factor for the team. But that is 100% what happened to Kirby Smart this year. The Georgia receivers, they did a poor job recruiting and developing over the last several years. Didn't anticipate so many guys leaving early to go to the NFL. And this year's Georgia receivers were bad, and that's what held that team back. And it's 100% Kirby's fault for not recruiting and developing them, but it's the same things that, that Gus has done with some other positions that we've talked about a lot on this show.
Yep.
So I don't think it's a guarantee that that Georgia will change offensive coordinators, despite, you know, how kind of mediocre they were. Because I think Kirby wants to play that way. I think he wants to play that kind of run the ball, play defense thing. So
that's what he knows exactly. Let's see. I think it's time to do the.
Holy cow! Oh my God!
It's the SEC Power Poll.
Oh, for a muse of fire!
All right, what do we got for our Power Poll results this week? And there's not many weeks left in it.
Nope. Last Power Poll for the bowl games. At the bottom, all alone, Arkansas. And really, probably the lowest ranked SEC team we've ever had, clearly. And then Vanderbilt by itself. And then the bottom tier, Missouri, South Carolina, Ole Miss, from bottom up, going up into kind of a lower tier. Then Mississippi State, Kentucky, Tennessee, kind of a mediocre middle.
Okay. The mediocre
middle. A&M by itself.
Yeah.
You know, kind of good, but not more than good. Then Alabama by itself. In
blame
fifth.
Yourself.
That's not then, the button I was trying to push, but it'll work. It'll work.
Blame yourself should be the new Alabama thing.
That's it, yes. We've figured out the Ole Miss slogan and the Alabama slogan.
Then Florida, Georgia, Auburn in second after Georgia got annihilated, and woo-hoo! LSU at the top.
All right. I like it.
I like it, too.
It works for me. All right. Well, thanks to our voters for voting in that Power Poll. I also am a voter in the Power Poll, I'm proud to say. But thanks to our voters. And to be a voter in our SEC Power, AU Wishbone SEC Power Poll, all you have to do is be a patron. And to be a patron, just go to www.auwishbone.com, AUWishbone, one word, auwishbone.com, and click on the big orange banner button that says become a patron. And for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us to keep this show going, help to keep all of our expenses paid, to keep our show getting out there to the public, including you. And in return, you get to do things like the Power Poll. We'll have the brackets for the NCAA tournament coming up, which is fun because it'll be a nice little tight-knit family of us doing it.
We're going to have a bowl pick'em contest.
Bowl pick'em's coming. All right. Very good. Very good. We have the Fantasy Formula One League that just ended, and we'll have another one of those coming around soon. We just drew a drawing in our live show at Georgia a couple of weeks ago, and we're getting ready to, now that we kind of know the things we're going to have to offer, we're about to send out notices to all the winners to let them pick what they want, and we'll ship them out for Christmas. And many other benefits, which you can find on the Patreon page. You can just go to www.patreon.com and just search Plexico or AU Wishbone or whatever. It'll come right up. We always, in addition, thank all of our patrons. So when you join up and become a voter and become part of the family here, we get to mention your name. And so we always have to thank our big The Eagle Has Landed power quadruplet of Matthew Flowers, Carl Von Drunker, Samuel Salvatore, and Christopher Burleson. You guys rock the world of AU Wishbone. And then we have the great Phil Amthor, Ben Spooner, William Glenn Matthews, Gary Grant, AU Fan KSC, Wynn Carroll, Brian Gray, Winston Boddy, Willie Carden, Tom Anderson, Susan Trawick, Logan Chilton, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Justin Bean, Steve Trawick, and Richard Stevens. Then you have Mickey B. It's hard for I keep messing Mickey up because he used to be like several down, but he somehow migrated up to the top of his bracket now, and so I can't lean into it. So he was sending me a message the other day. We were laughing about how I do it. He likes it, so I'm going to keep doing it. We have William Morgan, Phil Davis, Joshua Corbett, John Otsuki, Preston Settle, Daniel Odom, AU Falling Up, Alchemist, Kevin Smith, Clarence Alford, Will Summerford, David Hegler, and he used to be right there. That's where it used to be. Johnny Caldwell, Theodore Gary, Reynolds Wolf, Joel Beckham, Valiant Hermes, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Clay Henson, Ann Kanjian, Catherine England, George Gaston, John McCune, David Evers, Andrew Barber, Timothy, Steve Harlan, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Rich Reimer, and Jarrett Albrick. Then you have Blake Heron, Steve Houston, Cato the Barner, Danny Flack, Papa Todd, Russell Milling, Kevin Kinoy, Don Zederman, Ross, Lane Middleton, Shannon Butson, Randall Walker, Hugh Anderson, Shane Bailey, Mick Vigicana, Chris Thrash, Tony Perry, Alex Wynn, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Earl Ricks, Mike Finley, and C.T. Wayne. And finally, we have our cool group and the foundation level, Jeremy Minton, Wardam Wade, Spanky, J.W. Rice, Jason Albrick, Kevin Mahan, or Mahan, I always get his name mixed up. Sorry there, Kevin. Stephen Wyatt. It's because of Alfred Thayer Mahan. It always messes me up. Trevor Johnson, Auburn Elvis, Robert Drain, Brandon Smith, Royce Alvarez, Thomas Brinson, David Smiley, Matthew Wagstaff, Donnie Reynolds, Wade Carson, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Michael Morton, Lawrence Kane, Darren Pyle, Chris Camo, Ben Amos, Ruth, and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Joey Meyer, Joey Miller, Mark Squire, and then, of course, Chris Brant Rumble, and our occasional donors like Surfer Chickify, and our other one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all so, so very much. www.auwishbone.com. Click on the Become a Patron. We still have over 100 patrons, but the numbers dropped off a little bit since the season kind of came to an end. I was afraid that would happen, and we can't have that. So we need to replace the people that left with new people. So go and sign up and tell a friend about the show. John, we're up to, we have the show that posted on Monday after the Iron Bowl. Last I checked was over 2,200 downloads just on iTunes, and we are closing in. We are closing in on a quarter of a million downloads all time.
Awesome.
A quarter of a million downloads. We are very, very, it was just like a year ago or less that we crossed 200,000, and now we're already up to almost a quarter of a million. So, I think it's time for me to push this button.
Holy cow!
No, this one.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
And I say you.
All right, what do we got?
All right, first question is from Danny Flack, who says, what coaching changes, if any, do you see for Auburn? He quickly emailed back and said, oh, just saw the OC news. But he asked about, what if we went after Matt Luke to be offensive line coach?
That would be interesting. I hear he's looking for work.
He is. What do you think about that? Do you anticipate other coaching changes?
Let's put Matt Luke on the offensive line and what's his name? Arkansas on the quarterback. And we can just keep putting former head coaches. We can be like Saban. We can be a halfway house. Bring in Hugh Freeze to do something. I mean, you know, let's bring them all in there.
The other thing I failed to mention when we talked about Chad Morris is that his son is a high-profile quarterback recruit.
Yes, he is. Woo. Just saying.
All right.
Just saying.
Next question. Scott Crankton asks, where does the pendulum swing? And he says, gentlemen, since it is metaphysically impossible for Auburn to have a good defense and a good offense in the same year.
Ain't that the truth?
Where does the pendulum lie next season? Does it remain on the good defense, average offense side, or does it swing to the good offense, average defense side? Or, heaven forbid, is it a transition to the average offense, average defense position? Asking for a friend, Merry Christmas, and keep up the good work.
I'm leaning toward average both, but I think the offense will have at least more experience, except for the offensive line, which breaks us back to average again. I don't mean average in a bad way, though. I think that I think that the defense will take a step back, just inevitably, right? Is there any way it doesn't, right? The defense will take a step back, but still be good. And I think the offense will be better in the skill positions, but with a whole new offensive line, that'll average out to okay. So like on a scale, on an Auburn scale of 1 to 10, right? With like 2010 or 2014, maybe 2013 being an 8, 9, 10, and 2012 being a 1 or 2, offense wise, I think next year will be kind of a 6. And I think defensive wise, with a 10 being like 1988 or 2004 or some degree this year, and a 1 being like Barfield, then I think next year's defense will be about a 7. What do you think? 6 and 7?
Yeah, again, it's going to keep that Kevin Steele level that we've had.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been allowing under 20 points a game for the last 3 years since he's been here. And I think they're going to keep that. They're not going to be as good up front as this team, but I think the defense is still going to be very good. And I think the offense is going to be better. I'm saying it right now. I think Bo Nix as a freshman was a big thing, and I think he's going to be better next year. And I think he having time with all those skill position guys, I think the offense is going to be much more effective.
As long as the offensive line can hold up, then yes, I agree. Yeah.
All right. Our next question comes from Darren Pyle, who says, what did our Iron Bowl win do for us bowl-wise? I feel like if we had lost the Iron Bowl, we'd still be in the Outback Bowl playing Minnesota. I mean, knocking Alabama out of the playoffs was enough for me, but it just seems odd that it didn't do anything for us bowl-wise.
Well, I think it was because there were so many moving pieces that, it ended up. And here's the funny thing. It ended up being like what it would have been anyway. I agree. And here's the funny thing is I did out what the bowl matchups would have been if we didn't have, you know, back in the 80s before the BCS and everything, and we still played Minnesota in the Outback Bowl. Seriously, every bowl was different except Alabama, Michigan, and the Citrus. No, I think Michigan was in the Holiday Bowl against some Pacific team, and Iowa was playing Alabama in the Citrus, and we were playing Minnesota. So every other bowl was different, but except for us. So there you go.
His postscript is, and why does Van want a slow, uncomfortable, hard to see out of low tech, unreliable Camaro and not a state-of-the-art, fast, well-balanced, good-looking, reliable Mustang?
Well, because I've done tons of research on this, number one, and they say the Camaro is much more fun to drive and the way it handles and corners and everything. It's much more of a, it's much more in like locked onto the road than the Mustang, and the Challenger basically is like bouncing around in a wagon. But the other reason is that my whole life I've thought that Camaros and Corvettes, the Chevy stuff, was cool, and I don't like Fords. And when I went and saw Ford versus Ferrari, I rooted for Ferrari. And it turned out I was right, because Ford were the villains of the movie. And by the way, programming note, as soon as Alan Porter and I can get together on this, you know, he and I do our James Bond review shows, but we also do an occasional racing show, Open Wheel. We're going to start doing racing movie review episodes, kind of blending the two together. And our first offering will be Ford versus Ferrari. We were going to do that this week, but he's out of town and I got stuff going on. So probably Tuesday or Wednesday a week from now, you can look for Alan and me to review, give a thorough review. And Alan knows his motor car history. I like it more recently, but he's steeped in Britain. And so it'll be a really fun show, I think.
All right. Tom Anderson asked a question for the AU Wishbone. What are our thoughts about the selections on the Citrus and Outback Bowls?
Well, I just think that there was no way if you're the Citrus Bowl and you get Alabama, Michigan, you don't take that. I understand it. It sucks. It makes me mad, but there's just no way. And by the way, you know, it seems like we're in the Citrus Bowl all the time. In fact, somebody on Twitter was saying, I don't want to go back there again. And, you know, another guy and I both quickly independently did some research. It's been 2000. It was like 15 years ago the last time we were in the Citrus Bowl.
Yeah.
It's a lot longer than you think.
We need to go back to the Citrus Bowl.
Yeah. It's been a lot longer than you think. We were there like every other year for under Tuberville. But it's been a while since we were there.
Our next question is from Bradley Blackman, who says, if Chad Morris is hired to be the Auburn offensive coordinator, can Gus put aside his ego and allow a proven play caller to do his job? Or will Gus meddle like he did with Chip Lindsey?
No, I don't think he's going to do that.
No, I think Gus is 100% going to call the plays.
Yes.
But then he goes on to say, that being said, I feel like Gus did a very good job play calling this fall. There was a lack of execution on the part of the offense most of the times in games we lost. I'm not sold on Gus giving up his duties yet.
I would give him a B+ on play calling this year. I thought for the most part he did a pretty good job with it, but there were times he still had me banging my head on the wall. But it was pretty good.
That's fair. Our next question is from Twitter from Auburn Memes, who asked, did anyone else find it weird that Cord Sandberg is old enough to be Kenny Dillingham's dad?
Maybe he'll take him with him to Florida State. I don't know.
Our next question is from Dan in North Carolina, who says, do we really want Morris as offensive coordinator given 2017, 2018, and the headbutting between Gus and Chip? Would Morris be fine not calling plays?
Yeah.
Or should Gus look elsewhere?
That's the only question I have.
Again, one of the reasons that Dillingham was such a good fit is that he was willing to do the work in the role without being the play caller. And so a young up-and-coming guy like him, that was what he was willing to do. And so maybe Chad Morris would be willing to do it because he could work with his buddy and, you know, go back to being an offensive coordinator, kind of rebuild his career that way. So I don't know. I don't know whether he would be willing to do that or not. But I think, like, coaches are competitive guys, and no one is going to be offering him a head coaching job. So with offensive coordinator jobs are the kind of jobs he's going to get.
Yeah.
So, well, it's a question of.
I'm sorry.
He could go somewhere else and be the play caller. He could come to Auburn to work with his buddy and have a lot of returning talent to play with.
Well, I'm gonna say, and I can see him saying, I can see Gus pitching it. You know, you can come have a couple of years with Bo Nix. It'd be fun. We'll throw it around. You know, I mean, I can see him making that as part of the pitch that you've got an established quarterback that isn't going anywhere and is only going to get better.
And good receivers, good running backs.
So. And he's going to win a championship before he leaves here. So, yeah.
All right. And
if that happens, John.
And we got to get better at celebrating.
That's right.
I meant to ask you that in your offensive coordinator interview. How good are you at celebrating?
I can get better.
Okay.
Well, I can get better. After the interview was over, Gus said.
You know, he's not 100%. you know, not 100%, but he was out there moving around and. It's still kind of day-to-day at this point, but the encouraging thing for me, he was out there moving around.
There you go. That was encouraging.
I'm glad you were out there moving around.
I was moving around, man. I put the moves on him.
All right. Our last question comes from Carl Von Drunker on Twitter.
Yes.
And he says, after he sent us an article about how much money LSU made on beer sales this year. He says, you think Auburn should sell alcohol at Jordan-Hare?
Oh, God.
And the article says LSU made over $2 million.
I don't doubt it. I'm surprised it wasn't more than that. You know what they should do? They should say, we're thinking about selling alcohol, or you can just put $5 in this box and then we won't do it and see if we make $2 million that way. Because I would pay five extra dollars for there not to be alcohol sold in Jordan-Hare. And it's not an alcohol thing or anything like that. It's I don't want the people I already have to deal with and here in that stadium even more off their, you know, off their rocker when I have to deal with them when I'm there, which is not very often, but yeah.
No, I hear you. I would vote no on it too, given the choice, but all right, that's it.
Well,
another excellent round of questions.
Absolutely. We appreciate you guys very much. And now it's time to take it around the world.
Trip around the FTC.
Come on, man.
Well, John, this coming up set of games are what we call the bowl games. And there's some interesting matchups, depending on how you define interesting and how you define matchups. I really, when I look at this slate of games, I only really see maybe a couple I'm particularly interested in. All right, Texas A&M, Oklahoma State. Let's first do watch, don't watch. Now we know we're going to watch them all because we're starved for football by, you know, a month from now. But
this is the easy answer for me. I'm going to watch them all.
All right. Well, then let's say intrigued, not intrigued. A&M versus Okie State. Intrigued, not intrigued.
a little intrigued just because they're former conference opponents. I think Oklahoma State used to give them problems.
Yeah, that's true. Anything A&M does, I kind of watch with one eye at brow raised, like, what are they going to do? So, yeah, I can see that. Mississippi State, Louisville. Intrigued, not intrigued?
Louisville's better, but not really.
Yeah, not so much. Will Louisville pee on the goalpost at the if they score on Mississippi State? That's the only just in tribute. Yeah, I'm kind of not. Florida, Virginia. I haven't seen anything from Virginia, with all due respect to your child, that really makes me want to think they have any chance against Florida.
No, Florida's going to kill them.
Yeah, so that's one where you check the score and see how bad it was, but you don't necessarily spend 3.5 hours with it. You know what I'm saying? Well, I guess you might have to, but I know. The Belk, the Beloved, and that was the Orange Bowl, by the way. Lord help us. Oh, and the Music City Bowl, the one closest to me, is Mississippi State, Louisville. Yeah, I won't be making that 4-hour drive, thanks, and I bet a lot of people won't either. The Beloved Belk Bowl, Kentucky, Virginia Tech. Honestly, this is one I'm slightly intrigued by.
Intriguing. Again, Kentucky has that kind of that option offense with Lynn Bowden at wide receiver running it.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech kind of got better over the second half of the season with a good running quarterback. Yeah. So this is going to be a fun game.
Interesting. More interesting than at first blush.
Yes.
Citrus Bowl, the bowl that stole away other teams out of stole itself away up from under us. Alabama versus Michigan. Alabama's going to just crush Michigan, aren't they?
Yes. Two things are going to happen. One, like 10 Alabama players are going to sit out for the NFL draft. And two, they're going to blow Michigan out of the stadium.
Anyway. And the thing I'm more intrigued by is the coaches' press conferences, because you got a couple of real pieces of work here. These are not your nice, friendly, gentlemanly head coaches. You got a couple of pieces of work here that think that they both think they're God's gift to football. You know what I mean? I'm not sure you can contain both of their egos in the same room. So it may look like one of those boxing match weigh-ins where they come out and just get each other's face. And I'm not saying Saban would do that. He's more reserved. But I could see Harbaugh like going all WWE and just coming out like with a fur stole thing on and earrings. Let me tell you something, McMahon. You know, I he's a little unstable. He worries me. The Sugar Bowl, and they just, you know, this is one of those years, John, where to put the teams that are in the top 10 into the bowls that they've earned gives you some crappy matchups. Georgia versus Baylor. Does anybody outside of Clark County, Georgia care? Does anybody inside of Clark County, Georgia care?
Well, the other part is, again, they lost the bowl game a year ago to Texas, and they might lose again. First of all, the other thing is this is going to be a low-scoring defensive game, so it's not going to be fun to watch. It's going to be like 17-14 or something.
How did the Sugar Bowl become the loser bowl?
Well, again, it's the SEC Big 12 matchup. I think it's just the teams they have got stuck with.
So. Well, it's that the good teams that won their conference championships are in the playoffs. So the Sugar Bowl becomes the consolation prize. I never thought that would ever be I thought the Outback Bowl or the Hall of Fame Bowl used to be the consolation prize, not the freaking Sugar Bowl. Well,
yeah.
And then the Gator Bowl. Oh, hold on to your hats, everybody. Tennessee and Indiana. That'd be a heck of a basketball game. But does anybody anywhere care about that? I guess to see what Tennessee can do now that they seem to be playing better.
Indiana has actually had a good year. They're not bad, but no, I think it's a post January 1st bowl game. So it's literally like one of the last bowl games of the year. And it'll be like, man, I'm desperate because the off season is coming. I got to watch it.
We need the SEC to not have so many tie-ins with the Big Ten. You got Indiana, Michigan, Minnesota. I mean, I know there's some Big 12s in there too. But I mean, you know, last year the Music City was Purdue, another Big 10. I mean, let's get some Pac 12 teams in here, or I don't know, but
I think there is a new bowl game coming That's going to be in the new Las Vegas stadium they're building. That's going to be very nice.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be an SEC Pac-12
bowl. Oh, I want in that one, man. I'll fly to Vegas for a SEC for an all. If it was like Auburn versus, let's see, who would we want?
Southern Cal.
Oh, yeah. Auburn, Southern Cal in Vegas? I'd be on the plane right then. I'd find the money. So, all right. Well, I guess that's it. We will have our – we're going to – you. I think you and I have kind of tacitly agreed that because we're getting so much more support in the last couple of years, and the last year particularly, and because our listenership and our viewership have really taken off, really, I guess you do this long enough, people start figuring it out that you're worth listening to or watching, I guess, or just they accidentally keep tuning in and forgetting to delete it, whatever. I feel like we have an obligation to provide regular content. So we're going to try to keep doing our shows as often as possible. But bear in mind that John and I in the off season also do a lot of White Rocket podcasts where we do stuff like trivia, and we do, you know, we did Game of Thrones a lot last year, movies and books and TV and stuff. And so we're going to do a lot more of those coming up too. We'll have Jared on for some of that. And of course, again, we got Alan Porter coming in to do the, we do the racing show, the James Bond shows. We'll do the movie, the racing movies episodes coming up. We got a lot of stuff going on at the White Rock, and Jared does his comics with normies. It's always fun. So we have a lot of stuff going on in our network besides just John and me talking about Auburn. But John and I will continue to talk about Auburn for as long as you want to hear it. And then when you don't want to hear it anymore, we'll stop recording it and keep talking about Auburn between our two of us.
As we always say, we'd be doing this anyhow, even if we weren't recording the podcast. So.
That's right. All right. Any last thoughts?
No, I mean, again, I'm excited. We're going to do a down the road. We're going to do a Trial Gus 2.0 show.
Okay.
And we're going to do some bowl preview stuff, and then we'll do down the road in the off season. We'll do some as we get closer to after sign, the early sign of day before the late sign of day. We'll kind of do some. Look at the depth chart, kind of who's coming and going in different positions and that kind of stuff.
And we always get Brandon Marcello to come on and talk to us. We always get we've gotten like one other guest every spring. Usually, you know, we had War Room Eagle on one time. We had Son of Crow on. We've had D Ford on. You know, we've had some pretty darn good guests over the last couple of years. So we always find people to bring on in the off season. So that'll be fun.
There will be some basketball content.
There will be basketball. That's right. We got to talk basketball because we'll be playing. We're playing SLU on Friday, right? Or Saturday? Saturday. We're playing. We had a 9-day layoff, played Furman, and now we're off for like another week. But we play SLU on Saturday in Auburn. We play them up here in a couple of years, so I'll actually get to drive like 10 miles across the bridge and get to go see Auburn. That'll be awesome. And my older daughter's boyfriend goes to SLU, so he's coming over Saturday, and we're going to have like a throwdown. It'll be awesome. So I can't wait. That's going to be fun. I get to kick my daughter's boyfriend out of the house if they beat us, so that'll be fun. All right, John, I guess that'll do it for another episode. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
So what becomes of you, my love, when they have finally stripped you off the handbags and the glad rags that your granddad had to sweat so you could buy?
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Go to bed.